enjoy Dr. Winston and the Flames. All right. I know I enjoyed myself. I'll never be on my own. Amen. Well, we're really excited about entering into the New Year's season. And it's my honor, my privilege to be able to introduce a man that's obviously very near and dear and special to all of us, but especially to myself, because he took his time to give me the Word of God each and every day. And I see how much it is a huge blessing now that I'm old enough to appreciate it. And I just want to take this moment to say to my father that I love you, and I'm so thankful for everything that you've done for me. And I want us to just stand up on our feet. And the pastor, the doctor of this house, Dr. Bill Winston, visionary, missionary, evangelist, prophet, teacher, our man of God. Let's give him a big hallelujah praise.
Take a seat, please. Well, how did we do up here? How did the Flames do? Now, you know why we call that the Flames, don't you? The Holy Spirit. You remember? He was like a fire. He set upon each one of them. So this is the flame of the Holy Ghost. These, the flames, hallelujah. Now, we heard a whole lot of more steps, but we didn't do them because we didn't want to cause some of y'all to backslide. So we just left it up here. All right. Now, it's a couple of things here. And I want to just kind of mix this in because there's some things going to happen here in 2016. And the God wants his people to trust him. Because we haven't seen anything yet. There are some things, like I said, coming that the heathen are going to say, I don't believe that. But they're going to see. Because it's time for the breakthrough. And this is God's people now. And Jesus prayed, pray thy kingdom what? Come. And thy will be what?
Come.
Where? As it is where? Yeah. So we're going to have heaven invading the earth. Say amen to that. So this is going to be a year that will include great demonstration of the power of God and of the love of God. In other words, in the book of Acts, you haven't seen anything yet. Jesus has saved the best to last. Say amen to that. So just get your hearts prepared, because God is going to take you out there further than you've ever been out there before. And that's going to be a good thing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So it's a couple of things that the Lord placed in my heart. And one is this idea about it's time for breakthrough. Now go to Romans chapter 1. And over in Romans chapter 1, flow, okay, praise God. Well, I had to settle down from that song. We just practiced that. We just had a little time to practice that, you know what I mean? And, man, I mean, I'm not used to these people are professionals I'm working with here. Goodness, they catch on that stuff just like that. I'm still trying to remember the words, okay? He says this, Father, thank you for the word. Give you praise for it in Jesus' name. He said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how?
By faith.
The just shall live by faith. So we have to get ready, because where God is taking us, it's going to be a time that we're going to have to use our faith. And if you haven't learned to use it, it's time that you start learning to use it. Now, if you're following Jesus, he is the author and finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. So where he's leading you is places where you, in fact, have been led or have been promised. And he's taking you into these places because he wants you to receive the promises that he has for your life. And so, as he does that, remember that faith often puts you in a place of possible ridicule. And people might kind of look at you sideways. But don't be moved by that, because God has a plan for your life. Now, first, let's deal with that, because you can't be a shy believer. You're going to have to let your faith be bold. It takes courage to walk in faith. When we first came here, it took me courage to leave the company that I was working at. Because every time I looked like I wanted to leave, the money got short. And so I had to take faith to leave there. But then it took faith to leave Minnesota, because I only had $200. So it took faith to leave there. Now, God was calling me into these places. Now, you got to make sure that God is calling you. And that's not pizza that you ate before you went to bed. So the idea about it is that God is calling us to bigger and bigger, larger steps of faith. And he's going to increase you more and more. And he's going to do it supernaturally. So when you're walking by faith, I remember a man named Dr. Frederick Casey Price talked about his car and how he was believing God for a new Lincoln. At that time, I mean, that was tall hog at the trough. And so what happened was he had his car and he was preaching on prosperity, that God wants to prosper you. But he'd pull up at these churches that they invited him to speak. And he pull up in this car that's been wrecked in the front, in the back, and on both sides by his daughters. And he'd pull up there, and he'd go in and preach this powerful message of prosperity. And he said he's got to come out, and his wife kind of rushed him out so they can get in the car real quick and drive off. But faith sometimes puts you in that place that you believe you've received, and you're waiting on, there it is. So you've got to be willing to have faith and patience. You've got to be willing to stand when they might look at your car and say, now how is he gonna preach faith? Look at his tires, all his tires are bald. Or look at him, he's on the bus. And he's talking about faith, what is he? Oh, no, my friend. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power, come on, of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you see, what you have to do is you got to walk it out, because you can't skip steps of faith. You're going to have to walk out each class, first class, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You can't jump. You've got to understand that God is taking you through a process. Now, I'm going to cover that in just a minute, but this process is a purging process that he's purging for power. That is nothing like getting up there, up at a level that you really can't handle and get beat up by the giants. God wants it so that when you get up there, you are the real McCoy, so to speak. You are the one that can move mountains with your faith. And like when David got to the front line, David said, wait a minute. Saul said, how are you going to take this big guy? He's been trained in war from his youth. David said, well, let me tell you my background. I had a lion to come and try to take a sheep. And I got him and grabbed him by the beard and choked him. I'm talking about a lion. Have you ever tried to grab a lion by the beard and choke him? I'm talking about this is what David did. He's about man about my size. And then I said, about my size. Then he said, a bear came. And he killed the bear. He said, now I've killed a lion and a bear. But notice he killed them before he got to the front line. Say amen to them. Now I'm saying this because you got to know where your faith is at. A lot of times we don't know, and what happens, we get up there and things don't work right and we wonder what happened. Well, faith is a law. It always works and it always works right. So I'm just saying, wait on God, because Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith, and he is leading you into a fight that technically in the flesh you can't win. But God is with you, and he's going to make it so that you're going to win that fight. Now, let me show you something else. Turn back to Deuteronomy, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. A lot of people don't want to read this particular scripture, but I'm going to read it because I know you are people of faith. And he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, if you will, he says this, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. Now, it's kind of interesting about that, because God on purpose led them into the wilderness. Now, one of the main reasons he led them into the wilderness, because he wanted to show them what was in their heart. I'm going to try that one more time. He wanted to show them what is in their heart. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, why am I still in this? Or why am I going through this? Maybe you think you got something you don't have. And maybe he's leading you into a place where you can see what is in your heart. Say amen to that. Now, a lot of times we don't want to preach this because we think that that's somewhat unbelief. But no, it's not unbelief. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. And over in Jeremiah chapter 17, we've read this scripture before, but I'm going to read it again. He says in verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a tree in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Check it out now. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Next verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So over in Matthew's gospel, and Matthew chapter 26, we have a situation here where Peter is talking to Jesus. And verse 31 says, then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, I put one more extra verily in there, that this night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. Watch Peter now. And Peter said to him, though I should die with you, yet will I not deny you. Likewise also said all his disciples. Well, let's come all the way over to verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the place, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, wasn't you? And he denied before them all, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. That's First Winston translation. And when he was gone about in the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again Peter denied with an oath, and I do not know the man. Now this is what was in Peter's heart. Now Peter didn't know what was in his heart, because God's got you going into some fights. I mean, this it's time for us to stop playing church. Come on, we need to be the church. And the church is here to push back darkness. Everywhere we see it, we fix it. It doesn't make any difference how big it is and how much it costs. Lord have mercy, I'm preaching that. I'm telling you, some of y'all about to come and do a lot of money. Come on, because you're going to help me. Say amen to that. I mean, when I come up with a jet for $5 million, you say, Pastor, I got you covered. I say, okay, don't even pass out the buckets. We got just one man here, or one woman. Let's keep going here. And verse 73, and after a while, this is three times he's given it, came into him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. You sound like you're from the south. And verse 74, then began he to what? Curse and what else? Swear. They want you to know what word they're trying to get at. They're trying to get at cuss. This man cursed and swore that he didn't know the man who was feeding him. And I'm saying this, that sometimes we don't know what's in our heart, but God knows what's in your heart. So don't think he's taking too long to get you up there. He's not taking too long. He's purifying your vessel. He's making it so when you get up there, you will not fail. When you get up there, you will not be intimidated by what people think about you. When you get up there, you will be able to finish the job that he's called you to do. This is your year. You have been through the wilderness. I came to announce to you, you have passed the test. Glory to God. Woo! Look what Joseph said. Look at Genesis, if you will, and Genesis and chapter 40. Over in Genesis chapter 40, now this is after Joseph had been working for Potiphar, and because of the blessing on Joseph's life, Potiphar is getting increase. I said, you're going to get increase this year. And as a result of that, here's Potiphar, glory to God. And so Mrs. Potiphar, while Mr. Potiphar was out somewhere going out of town, and Mrs. Potiphar started making eyes at Joseph because he was built, you know, he's kind of like I was. And he was built, and she started making eyes at him. And so she came on him, and he, you know, pushed her off, And she tried to grab him, and he came out his coat. He fell his coat. He was always losing his coat. And as a result of that, are y'all listening to me? As a result of that, she went and told a lie on him and showed his coat that he was, you know, trying to molest her or something, and it was a lie, and they threw him in prison. Now, he's down in prison, but I want you to see his attitude while he's down in prison. He's down here, and he says to them, this is the butcher and the baker, and I think the candlestick maker. They got thrown in prison as well. And he woke up one morning in verse 6 of chapter 40. He says, and Joseph came unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and he said, they were very sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore are you looking so sad today? Now, how many of you know when you're in prison, you don't ask folk why they're looking sad? Okay, so right there, his attitude was still right. But he wanted to get out of there. Let's go down here and look at verse 14. Say amen.
Amen.
He said to them what was going to happen to him. He said, one of you going to get put back up with the king. You're going to get your job back. He said, but think on me now when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me to Pharaoh. And bring me out of this place. Nobody wants to be in the wilderness. Bring me out, get me out of here. I want you to know he stayed in there for 2 more years. I don't believe he stayed in there because the enemy was keeping him in there. I believe he stayed in there because he can get all the bitterness out, all the things out about how his brothers treated him. Come on, how your mama-in-law did you? How the things happened to you when you was a kid? God's getting all of that out because this is your year of increase. You have been in the wilderness long enough. Come on, you have been in the cell long enough. You have been held back long enough. I came to tell you that God has been purging you. It wasn't the enemy stealing from you. God was protecting you. And God has been purging you because this is your year. You are about to move into some of the greatest blessings of your life. I said, whatever's been held back is now gonna be released. Glory to God. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Say amen to this. Now, while you're going through anything this year, just try to take on the attitude that Job had. No matter what was coming against him, he still trusted God. And he said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, I said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Folks, I was there. I had holes in my shoes, and I had to go preach, and I also had the family's clothes I needed to wash, and I didn't know whether to spend the money on the shoes or spend the money on the clothes. I said, well, my family needs some clothes, and I need some my shoes fixed because they have holes in them. But what happened was I was in the middle of a real hard place, but I didn't give up on God. I understand, Job. I can't tell you why all this is happening to me. I couldn't tell you why I'm being held like that. But I did know this. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. If I can't figure out what is happening to me, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep confessing his name. I'm going to keep telling him how good he is. I'm going to keep praising him in the morning. I'm going to keep praying and fasting. I'm going to just let God be God and have a man be a liar. So what happened? Joseph came out. But when he came out, he was ready. Because he moved from prison to prime minister. I'm telling you, some of you are about to get a big promotion. I'm talking about your money thing is going to be going from like 0 to 100. I mean, your promotion, God is about to hook you up. Oh, this is coming by the Spirit. With new friends. There are going to be new relationships. Some of your relationships have been completely carnal, and God wants you to get some spiritual relationships. So you're about to go somewhere you've never been before. Now, here's the last thing I want to tell you. The glory of God is about to come into your life. Now, when the glory of God comes into your life, you don't have to work for anything. In other words, by the time you think it, it's going to show up. What am I saying? I'm saying faith is the first level, then anointing is the next level, and then the glory is the next level. And when the glory hits the place, then everybody gets healed. When the glory hits the place, don't nobody have to lose weight. You just drop. I'm telling you, when the glory, I'm telling you, this year is the year of God's Shekinah glory. It's going to be, oh, Lord, have mercy. Things going to be happening. All kinds of people, all the people on this side going to get healed of any diseases. All the people in the middle are going to get healed of any financial debt and deficit. All the people on this side going to get healed of everything that Satan has put in your mind and tried to keep you back. I'm saying the glory of God is coming in the house and it's going to sweep the house. So what am I saying? The glory. Faith is the ability that's given to the believer by God to have dominion over time, space, and matter. The anointing is the ability given by God to the believers to do whatever God has called you to do. But the glory of God is the presence of God, and it manifests in a visible form. And when it rolls in the back door, everything in its path is going to get healed and is going to look like heaven on earth. Say amen to that. So I'm here to tell you right now, everything that's been harassing you, kiss it goodbye tonight, because it will harass you no more. Everything that's been delaying your progress, let it go, because it won't delay you anymore, because it's time that you are now coming out. And this is your year of increase. Get ready. Open up another bank account. Some things about to happen. Come on. I said trucks about to pull up to your house. People about to call you. Don't know why they called you. Want you to come and pick up something. Pick up a little package they got for you. Come on. You're not going to know what's happening. Only thing you're going to know is you just praise God. And I'm telling you, that's what he said in the last days. He said in 2 Chronicles, he said, now you're not going to need to fight in this battle. He said, because the battle this time is not yours, it's God's. He said, now tomorrow, all you got to do is go out and just start praising. When you start praising, something's going to happen. And when they start praising, God made the enemy to get confused and start fighting one another. You're going to have demons fighting one another. And in the midst of the fight, they're going to drop your stuff. I said, in the midst of the fight, they're going to drop your healing. Woo! In the midst of the fight, they're going to drop your peace of mind. They're going to drop your children. They're going to drop whatever they're holding. Because this is your year of supernatural increase. Now get up and pray. To God. Come on, you've been through all you're going through. You've been tested, you've been tried, you've been purified. Now it's time for you to get your stuff. David said, I whipped the lion and I whipped the bear. It's now time for my promotion. Yeah, I got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right.
Heaven will open for me.
And out of heaven
will come ideas,
will come inventions,
will come visions,
will come plans,
will come prosperity,
will come protection,
will come,
will come.
We thank you, Lord.
This night,
I'm listening to my prophet.
It's coming to me right now.
Wherever I have been,
I'm going forward.
I'm going to receive
everything
that the promise
has promised me by God.
That's meant for my life.
And whatever Satan has held back,
I decree
is released
tonight.
My struggle
is over.
My toiling
is over.
I will never worry
again
in my whole life.
Tonight
is the night of my abundance.
Great
increase
is coming into my house.
Starting
right now.
Starting
right now.
Devil,
get your hands
off my stuff.
Angels,
go.
Cause
my increase to come.
In Jesus'
name.
I said, in Jesus'
name.
Now give God
praise for that.
Sit down.
All right. It's offering time. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, this is, it's increase time.